It's hour number two here live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. Welcome in. Buck Rising here with you. We got Lucas Panzeca back in the studio. Coach Dave McGinnis is going to be here in just about 20 minutes to break down the X's and O's of the Titans versus the Bengals. We're getting you ready for game day at Nissan Stadium tomorrow, 3:30 kick. For all of you who are going to be in attendance, I hope that you're bundled up or you've adequately prepared yourselves for the cold that's going to be in there. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see how this game plays out. There's a lot of great games across the NFL. This is probably the best week of the NFL season at this point because you're into now the Elite Eight. You've got quality matchups all over the board. There's no Eagles versus Bucks. There's no terrible Dallas Cowboys teams just lingering around long enough in the playoffs to choke the way that they did against the 49ers. There's none of that. You've got the marquee matchups left in the playoff tournament at this point and a lot of good games to play out. And you have the benefit, I think, as the Titans, even though it's not a great television spot, it's not the best slot as far as exposure is concerned. You can worry about that if you continue to win games. If you keep winning games, you're going to be the only game left to put on TV, and you don't have to get stressed out about all this little stuff, which was basically what Mike Vrabel was talking about yesterday at practice, basically getting in your head about every little thing just because of the stakes that are on this game. Single elimination, the NFL postseason. The games come at a premium because there are so few and because each one has such a monumental impact. So listen to Mike Vrabel talk about, you know, what he's been kind of walking his team through and what basically the veterans have been trying to convey to the younger guys about, you know, just don't necessarily sweat every little thing.
No, I mean, I don't think you can ever do that. I don't think we want to try to paralyze ourselves, but I think as coaches, it's just trying to, be ready, be prepared, and, work through different situations and never try to predict on how the game is going to play. I mean, we've won games a bunch of different ways. We've been up and we've been behind, and so we'll just have to be ready and make sure that we have everything covered.
And I think that's kind of where you trust Mike Vrabel the most out of all the different ways that you look at this football team, right? Because we talked about Mike McCarthy being in a terrible situation where he basically coaches his team out of the postseason in the wild card round. We've talked about the coach of the Los Angeles Chargers in Brandon Staley, who has been married to the philosophy about how he goes for it on fourth down and when he chooses to go for it on fourth down and opting not to kick field goals, even though points can be at a premium if you're understanding situational football as well as you need to be. Like, I remember watching that Cowboys-Niners game on Sunday and just being astounded with the incompetency of somebody like Mike McCarthy. Yes, thank you, Coach Mack. I appreciate that from the background. I don't think Coach Mack is outright laughing at Mike McCarthy. Maybe we'll ask him coming up next. But I remember watching that game and seeing Mike McCarthy just basically floundering and thinking, I can't. We have been critical of some of Mike Vrabel's in-game coaching decisions. And, you know, he's continually throughout the course of his four-year, this being the fourth season, throughout the course of his tenure, you've seen him kind of learn and grow on the job. Now, Mike is going to make decisions that don't necessarily pan out, and our job is to criticize them retroactively. That's the job of media, basically. We see the result, then we get to determine how it should have been done. You know, Kirby's nodding his head vigorously to my right. But with Mike Vrabel, you know, 9 times out of 10, probably 9.5 times out of 10, you've got a guy who's going to be a plus for you on the sidelines. And in these kind of games, when you're coaching against somebody who's not experienced in this way, Zach Taylor is lucky to be in the playoffs. He's delivering a game ball to a local bar in Cincinnati after they won their first postseason game in 31 years. That's great. It's a fantastic story. And Joe Burrow is going to be great for a long, long time. But you have the advantage when it comes to understanding how to manage these situations. Now, when you look at kind of the rest of the bracket, and we'll get into this with Coach Mack while we break down the game itself, whoever gets through this divisional round will play the winner of Buffalo and Kansas City. And if the Titans pull it off, and they should, by the way. It shouldn't be pulling it off. They're favored. They should be able to handle this. They are expected to handle this. You should expect them to handle this. They will host Buffalo or Kansas City, whoever comes out of that game in KC over the weekend. And the difference with the Titans is that they're really constructed a lot differently than all these other teams. Buffalo doesn't run the football with the same kind of intention and really with the same kind of effectiveness that the Titans do. Kansas City is kind of built to do that. Their offensive line really isn't equipped well to pass protect in the way that you need to for a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes when they blew that whole thing up this offseason and kind of reconstructed it around Pat Mahomes. When they drafted somebody like Trey Smith out of Tennessee, when they brought in Orlando Jones to play left tackle because he played left tackle in Baltimore and that's where he wanted to stay, even though Ronnie Stanley's an all-pro caliber player. So Baltimore traded him to the Chiefs, and they're really not constructed to do what Kansas City does best. Although with the way that you've seen Mahomes kind of rein in his tendencies, settle into the position a little bit, and basically play a more manageable and efficient style of football, I mean, you saw how much more effective it made him against a team that was floundering like the Pittsburgh Steelers. Cincinnati's probably the closest thing to Tennessee in this Final Four for the AFC side of things because they still want to commit to running the football, even when it's not working for them. I mean, you look at their game against the Raiders, and the efficiency certainly wasn't there, but the volume continued to be. They kept giving Joe Burrow carries, even though he was averaging 2.8 yards per attempt. They ran the ball 25 times as a team. They were trying to get Jamar Chase involved. In fact, that was the best source of their explosive plays in the running game. They didn't have any explosive plays, nothing over 20 yards, but three carries for 23 yards, 7.7 yards per attempt for Jamar Chase. That was their best source of kind of breaking things up with the running game. But they couldn't get anything done with Samaje Perine. Joe Burrow doesn't necessarily run the ball himself all that often, but he had two carries for negative 2 yards. Joe Mixon got the ball 17 times, but only got up 48. Like, you are able to handle them, even though they want to play a similar style of football as you do. The difference is they're not necessarily equipped to do that. They're not built to do that. That offensive line isn't good enough to be able to play that style of football. You're not going to reset the line of scrimmage with the kind of guys that they have up front at this point. It's a young football team. There's high draft picks all over the place. They've done well to reconstruct this defense in free agency. But at a certain point, you kind of go back to that Kyle Brandt rant on television this morning on Good Morning Football, where he's talking about the Bengals are the young, up-and-coming, trendy team. Everybody wants to know, you know, what color glasses Joe Burrow's going to be wearing in the postgame press conference when he's talking about winning the first playoff game for them in 31 years, and nobody cares about what Ryan Tannehill's going to do in the game on Saturday, which is, of course, completely misguided. The Titans are better and more advanced in what they were constructed to do. The part of this that's going to be difficult is that they have to execute against a Bengals team that can still surprise you with the explosive players on offense. 615-737-1045, that's the number. We're broadcasting live out here at Scoreboard Bar and Grill. We got Aaron in Goodlettsville who's up next on 104.5 The Zone. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing well, thank you.
I had a great song. I think it was almost sound. The lyrics make it sound like it was written for Derrick Henry.
Okay.
The artist is Ty Stone, and the song, the title is Real Thing.
Real Thing.
You need to look it up and listen to it. It is incredibly good, and it describes Derrick Henry to a T.
Okay. Lucas is putting it down for his playlist throughout the course of today's show. I guess we're still doing the intro music for Derrick Henry today, too. 3HL has completely infected the show. I can't escape it. We got Darrington, who's up next. I know he's going to bring the smoke on this game day eve. What you got for me, my guy?
I'm here to stir the pot. And if today's show, like a radio sensation hit, this is all we doing today is songs, the greatest hits. And then what's next? Oh, man, I lost my dog and I became a Titans fan.
I'm trying to get away from it. I lost my dog.
The kids kept throwing the frisbee on the neighbors' houses, and they couldn't get it back, so I made them become tight. Like, shut up! I'm sick of it. Like, serious, shut up! Next. Then y'all keep complaining about national media. Do y'all want to be Cowboys?
Because that's what y'all basically want to be. They talk about the Cowboys. They don't win nothing. So y'all need to pick a side. Either you want to win and don't get talked about, or you want to lose and get talked about. Pick a side. It's real simple. Next, let's keep this pot stirring, really. Now, you just said about expectations. You expect the Titans to win. Well, every time y'all expect the Titans to win, goose eggs happens. You hear me? Ryan, good old Tannehill. This is what we're going to be facing it on. So let's get it going, people. Are you really fired up? And can you ask me this real quick? Because I know you know. Who are going to be the refs? And are y'all guys prepared for this? Because if anybody cries, best believe I'm going to have a field day next week. Tighten up, baby. Love you, bud.
Thanks for the call, Darrington. What did he say? I lost my dog, so I became a Titans fan. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I like that.
This guy. I'll tell you who the refs are right before we talk with Coach Dave McGinnis. I'll pull that up. I do have that in my media guide. But coming up next, we're going to break down the game in great detail. X's and O's with Coach Mack of Titans Radio, live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Bar and Grill here on 104.5 The Zone. Buck Rising here with you until 1 o'clock. We got Coach Dave McGinnis. That music means the man in black is on the phone line, presented by our friends at Farm Bureau Health Plans, making all of this great content for Titans Radio and the OTP possible. Mac, how we living on this Friday, buddy?
How we doing?
Man, we're good. We're ready to rock. We're ready for this football game. Nissan Stadium is going to be incredible on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is why we're all in it. I mean, if you choose to do this for a living, this is what you work for, and this is where we are. This is where we are as a team, and this is where we are as a city right now. I mean, you can feel it. I mean, you know, when you get into the playoffs in the National Football League, it was explained to me very early in my young coaching career that when you make the playoffs, you start breathing different air, and this absolutely is. You can feel it in the city. There's going to be a huge pep rally tonight. I mean, things are going, you know, as they should outside of the football team. People should be excited about this because this is something to be excited about. It's just fun. I mean, it's great right now if you're involved in this.
Yeah, Mac, I'm glad you bring up kind of the energy around the city, because you've been in a pretty unique position when you were the head coach of the Cardinals. You know, how you were growing and trying to grow the fan base, trying to get a stadium built, you know, basically going door to door. And the Titans aren't in that kind of a situation. But there does feel like, because it's been such a long time since those Steve McNair and Eddie George teams, when the franchise first got here, made the Super Bowl run, that with all the new people that are coming into Nashville, there's almost like a generational disconnect that success will allow them to capitalize on and continue to grow this fan base in ways that they haven't really been able to do without sustained postseason success. It feels like they have that opportunity with a win on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, I've experienced a lot of different locations in my coaching career. You know, when I started with Chicago, of course, it was, you know, it was running hot. I mean, you know, I was working for Mike Ditka. He was the king of Chicago, and the team was great. So were we. You know, they went to Arizona and then, you know, tried to get stadium. That's a completely different thing. Came here with Jeff Fisher and, you know, of course, what they had done when they first got into stadium, it was good. I mean, we had in 2008, we had a 13-3 team once we had to get the salary cap clean. This market to me, I coached here for 8 years. This fan base has always been very, very good here. You know, they really have been. And that was one of the reasons when I had the opportunity to come back here that I made this choice to come back here, because you know, this is a football place. This is a football part of the country. And when professional football came here and they went to the Super Bowl the first year and then continued to do things, you know, the right way. Well, and then, look, I wasn't here for the down times of this franchise. You know, since I've been doing these games with Mike Keith for the last five seasons, we hadn't had a losing season yet. And so
Mac, since I've been here.
No, I embrace this. You know, this fan base quite a bit, and it impressed me. It impressed me. I mean, you were in Houston. It impressed me at Houston, you know, very much so. And just for a recency bias thought. So look, this is going to be a great, great atmosphere here. And you're right. The more you win, the more people want to come on board. And you know, I know that some people say, well, you know, the Johnny come latelys that should not
be involved because we've been involved. No, everybody is welcome because you can never have too many voices cheering for your team.
Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio here with us on 104.5 The Zone. Of course, kickoff 3:30 Central Time. You can hear it right here on your flagship home for Titans Radio, 104.5 The Zone. So, Mac, Joe Burrow, one of the better young quarterbacks in football right now, an incredibly explosive set of skill position players. They're going to get theirs between the 20s. But how can this Titans team slow them down with the kind of defense that they've been playing throughout the course of this season?
Well, they've got to continue to, you know, to limit the explosives. You can't let the ball go over your head when you're playing these people. And not only over your head, you can't, when he starts spinning it to these guys that he's got to spin it to, you're going to have to spot tackle these people because, you know, it's not all going to be as soon as you watch tape. And as soon as the people get locked up on their receivers and they identify the one-on-ones, I mean, he's spinning it downfield to them. And it's not just Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is the quarterback. Quarterback's always going to get the attention. They got some really talented people that they have built this offense around. And Duke Tobin, who's the architect of this personnel group, along with his father, Bill Tobin, by the way, who's been with him the whole time. And Bill Tobin, for those that don't know NFL history, was the architect of all of those great Bears teams, yeah, you know, back in the early 80s. And so they've done a nice job. They've built this team two different ways. They built the team offensively through the draft. They built it defensively through free agency. And they've come together, but the quarterback is a number one pick for a reason. I mean, he was a really good quarterback coming into this league, and now he's becoming a very good professional quarterback. But the guys that he can spin it to, look, if they're going to throw short passes and run after catch, you got to spot tackle. Tackling is going to be very important. That's something that's not talked about enough in postseason games. You know, from people just talking about it because they feel like it's a given. You've got to tackle well in the postseason because first of all, every play is critical. Second of all, you're playing really good people most of the time in the playoffs.
Yeah, and that was what the Raiders did so well, at least in the red zone, to kind of keep things in front of them, Mac. It felt like the Bengals got into the red zone five times. They kicked three field goals. They did have the two touchdowns, but it really felt like Oakland was prepared to stop them from getting yards after contact, yards after the catch.
Yeah, but don't say Oakland. It's Las Vegas. You knew it was Las Vegas. You just said Oakland to see if I was paying attention to
no,
what
No, Mac, I swear. I still do it.
Oh, no. Anyway, look, yeah, red zone defense is always going to be huge. And, look, teams are going to move the ball. Teams don't make the Elite Eight like all of these teams that are playing this weekend have made without being able to move the football because that's the nature of the National Football League now. So what you have to be able to do defensively on that side of it, which, you know, a lot of people seem to disregard, is you've got to be able to tackle. And then, as you say, if the ball is moving, and it gets into the high red zone, you've got to be able to make them kick at field goals. That's a must.
So, Mac, with the Titans offense, it's as healthy as they've been. You came on last week. You dropped the stat about 120 snaps total that A.J., Julio, and Derek have had on the field together. We've seen Derek throughout the course of the week. We've seen Derek kind of ramping up to this point, and yet at 11:27 a.m., he's not activated to the active roster. What did you make of Derrick Henry's progress throughout the week of work?
Well, I mean, I see that they've got they had a progressive plan for him, and you could see it. And you know, I get to be at practice every day, and you know, with the caveat that I can't say what goes on, you know, at practice. But the thing is that they've got a definite plan for it, and then you know, we will know it. 3 o'clock, I guess 3HL will get the news, right? Because you know, 3 o'clock is 3 o'clock is when it comes out.
That's
but,
right.
The progressive plan that he has been on, you know, ever since the injury has encompassed a lot of people and a lot of facets of that organization. But the main person that it has encompassed is Derrick Henry. And so, to me, just watching it, it looks like they're on the proper path.
So, hypothetically, if he is to play, because we don't know anything for certain just yet, man.
Buck, you know I don't work on a lot of hypotheticals. in my career in the National Football League, hypotheticals never really helped me a whole lot. But
completely understand. But hypothetically, Mac, they're not putting Derrick Henry in that game to get six carries.
Well, I mean, anybody – You know this, and our listeners know this. Our fans are sophisticated fans. playing 91 people all year, when you have somebody dressed, they're all going to participate, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and Derrick Henry's a pretty prominent figure if he's there on the sideline.
I would say that's accurate. Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio here with us on 104.5 The Zone as we broadcast live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill, talking Titans and Bengals. So, Mac, they found explosive plays in the passing game. Ryan Tannehill was dealing in the second quarter against Houston and in the fourth to kind of seal that win as Davis Mills and them were kind of pushing that defense a little bit. With Julio Jones in that game, what did you see from him and Ryan Tannehill throughout the course of that game that allowed it to seem a little more crisp than we have seen it throughout the course of the season outside of, you know, unique instances, it seemed, in Seattle and against Buffalo?
Yeah, and you brought up a nice, the nice stat that Mike Keith gave to me that I put out. I always give credit where credit is due. 120
sure.
snaps. This big three has been together for 1,300. But when you see Julio and you watch Julio, the reason it looked crisp with Julio is one of the best route runners still in the National Football League. I mean, he can nuance, he can set up, he can snap off. So if people want to cover him one on one, he's going to be open. And so, you know, if the cylinder's clean and Ryan Tannehill's going to spin it to that dude because he's going to be open. And the more of them he and AJ, you know, are out there together, that's big. I mean, that helps a lot. And plus, you know, we've been talking about Westbrook Akina ever since we went down to Tampa Bay to practice against the Bucks. He's had that kind of development all year. And so he's still very viable. And now Ferks are starting to show up, especially down the seam, is really important and on third down. But look, Julio Jones is still one of the toughest covers in the National Football League one-on-one. So if they recognize that in the progression of the route, he'll throw it to him.
Trey Hendrickson has been fantastic for him since he signed to Cincinnati in free agency. He's been cleared from concussion protocol, and he will play. Mac, you know, the pressures stand out, obviously, about Trey Hendrickson's game, but what do you see when you watch him on film from a trait standpoint?
Well, he's a relentless rusher. He's got a variety of moves. And one of the big matchups in this game to watch, if you really want to dig down to the deep football part of this, that's normally what I like to do, is when the Titans are going to throw the football, how well we're able to block their four-man rush. Because they've lived off of a four-man rush in Cincinnati all year. And so with four, we always talk about you can cover with seven. So it's going to be how well we're able to hold up protection-wise, especially four, if they're extended routes or if they're facing any doubles that they need to be able to have a little more room to negotiate in, how well we block their four-man rush in passing situations. That's a big matchup for us.
There's no question about it. Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio here with us on 104.5 The Zone. Mac, we know what this Titans front four has been able to do and just really the ability to get pressure with four, drop seven into coverage is always going to give you an advantage as far as defending a great passing game like the Cincinnati Bengals one is. But when you look at like Harold Landry, and have you noticed, Mac, when you watch them on film, have they kind of progressively shifted Harold from one side of the defense to another throughout the course of the season? Is that something that stood out to you on film when you watch?
Yeah, they move their guys around because they go situational matchup every game, Buck. I mean, that's some of the strength of this defense, is that they're able to have some multiplicity up front and be able to bogey some coverages but still keep it within the context of not making it so complicated that you're thinking instead of playing. So, yes. I mean, they're going to move around and find the matchups that, you know, that they need. Now, what's going to happen? The counterbalance to that is, believe me, Zach Taylor and his offensive staff, they know how good this four-man rush is, and plus how good the back-end coverage is when they can rush with four. So I doubt very seriously that we're going to see Joe Burrow standing back there in a seven-step drop cylinder holding the ball very long. You know, we're going to get a lot of spread stuff. We're going to get a lot of spread ball out of the hands, so we're going to have to spot tackle. And so with when you're rushing like that, then what you have to be able to do is cave the cylinder and match hands. You know, so make him throw through that picket fence if he's getting rid of it quick. There's going to be a lot of give and take in this football game on both sides of it because these are both two good football teams playing.
There's no doubt. So, Mac, with their play-action passing game, You know, the idea that Derek commands such a different kind of attention and respect, despite the fact that they've been running their same offense throughout the course of the season. In fact, they've stayed very much true to who they are. But specifically, when you kind of look at what else that opportunity opens up for so many other players on the football field, because the defense has to lock onto this guy. When you're running things like boots with this Titans offense, what are the kind of boot rules that a defense has to respect when the offense is going to go and run a play like that and try and make sure that they're covering up it while paying attention to the running back, while they're trying to make sure that they're covering up, you know, crossing patterns that may be running behind the linebackers?
Well, the thing, if you want to talk about bootlegs specifically from the defensive aspect of it, first thing you've got to realize is what the split is on the backside and whether you are going to zone turn or man turn the man that's picking them up. That's number one that you have to realize. Number two, the thing that you have to do, how many levels are they coming at to the throwing hand or to the throwing side of the boot? Because, you know, there most teams that are really good, which this one is, will have three different levels of the boot option when they're rolling to it. You know, they'll have a deep, a shallow, then they'll have what we call a hide boot where a guy will sit right over the center. So as a defense, you have to decide how you are structurally going to cover those things from the second level or the third level, however you're doing it. And then the other thing that you have to do is how much are you going to deploy and you're going to leave your backside force guy there to play a potential boot rather than closing down the line of scrimmage to possibly play the run on either the zone outside zone at it or the cut back away from it. So there at all different levels, you've got to decide how you are going to play it, not only structurally, but what kind of technique you're going to use in all of those different phases I've just described. Very briefly here, but I've covered them pretty good.
I think most people trust your analysis, Mac. It's football download time with Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio. Bengals do like to stick with their running attack, though, Mac. They've not necessarily had a ton of success with it throughout the course of the season, throughout the later part of the season, with Joe Mixon missing some time as well. But they do seem to want to get volume carries with the football. What'd you kind of see from the Raiders defense that allowed them to kind of make Joe Mixon less of a factor than he might otherwise be?
Well, you've got to, I mean, Joe Mixon, you know, vetting him coming out and then watching him when he's healthy. I mean, here's what he is. He's a really good contact balance player. All right. I mean, he's not a guy you're going to knock off the pins very, very, very easily. He's got some jump cut ability to him, but he's a very, very, he's a very consistent back that is, and can catch it also, but you know, he's a tackle problem. You're going to have to put force on him to get him down. They got Perrine, that big back that they use in some, you know, in some short yardage situations. And so the key to all of this is, and really when Joe Mixon's in the ball game too, you not only have to work, you know, with the run ability, but the screen ability that they have and the various screens that Zach Taylor has, you know, that he's taken from Sean McVay's book, is you've got to be alert for him in that too, because really a screen to a back is really just like an outside zone that has already gotten to the edge. And so when you get it in a player's hands like that has the ability to jump cut and make you miss and is a contact balanced player, especially in his lowers, it puts some stress on you at those levels that are trying to make the tackle.
Coach Dave McGinnis here with us on 104.5 The Zone. Mac, before I let you get out of here, and we appreciate you spending some time with us on this Friday.
Sure.
This other side of the AFC, the Sunday night game, Buffalo and Kansas City, a rematch from the regular season. Buffalo went into Arrowhead the first time around and really had their way with that Chiefs defense. That's a much different Chiefs defense than we've seen in the second half of the season. What kind of stands out to you about that matchup, assuming, maybe not a safe assumption, that the Titans may be able to host an AFC championship game?
Well, I mean, both of those teams are really explosive right now offensively. And, you know, of course, Kansas City has really hit their explosive mark now as they're going. You know, Allen, to me, has been playing really, really well as this thing has progressed. To me, the matchup is which defense is going to be able to get all their cleats in the ground and slow the other side down more than the other one. That's the big part, because both of these teams offensively, they can move it, and they can move it with pretty mobile quarterbacks that both have pretty good spin on the ball, because they both of them have whips for arms. And so to me, that's the matchup, is finding out which defense, you know, whether Les Frazier or whether Spags, how they are going to be able to slow down their counterparts.
Coach Dave McGinnis, he'll be on the call, Titans Radio, 3:30 kickoff Central Time tomorrow at Nissan Stadium. Mike Keith, Coach Mack, Rhett Bryan, Amy Wells, the whole crew making it happen. The best in the business. Mack, I'll see you in the booth on Saturday, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Buck, looking forward tonight to the big pep rally. I'm going to be there hanging out a little bit.
Are you going to be holding court?
No, I'll be holding court. I'll just be there, just glad to be there and soak up some of the fans' energy. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, that's at 6th and Peabody tonight, so Coach Mack will be there. I know I'm going to be out there. There's going to be a lot of people out there at 6th and Peabody tonight. Should be a lot of fun. Thank you, Mack.
See ya. Thanks.
Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio there with us on 104.5 The Zone. All right, I want to talk a little bit about the Chiefs and the Bills coming up next. We'll also get back to your phone calls. Lines are loaded. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in. We're live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill here in Nashville. Great wings, fantastic hot chicken, incredible cocktails. Come check them out. People starting to file in for lunch right now. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Oh, people are clapping along, Lucas. You're counting me down. You threw off the rhythm. Welcome back, live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill. Lucas Panzeca's pregame song for Titans games. Love to see it. Lucas, what's the name of the song for people who like it?
Tighten Up by Archie Bell and the Drells.
Easy enough. 615-737-1045. You can jump in on the conversation. Going to get into a little bit on these other games in the divisional round. Niners at Packers, Rams at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and, of course, the other AFC game, the Bills heading to Kansas City to play the Chiefs on Sunday night. But back to the phones in the meantime, 615-737-1045. Lucas also has a really interesting stat for you as well. Steven is in Illinois, calling from out of state, wants to weigh in. What's up, Steven?
Hey, man. I don't know if you remember me, but we went to school together. Glad to...
Wait,
talk to you guys.
You're going to give out your name, your last name on the air? You got to be more specific there.
Steven Washuda.
Oh, hey, Steve. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? Awesome to hear you covering the Titans.
Been a thank you.
Long-time fan.
What you got for me, Steve? But,
so my question is, what do you think is going to be the biggest matchup on defense? Jeffrey Simmons against that offensive line or Fulton against Chase?
I appreciate the call, Steve. Man, it's a high school reunion on the phone lines. I love to see it.
I did see that Evansville number calling in.
Yeah, well, why didn't you let me know? We're basically all related to each other in Evansville, Indiana. You gotta give me a heads up next time, Lucas. I appreciate Washuda calling in. So, biggest matchup on defense. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons should absolutely eat against this Bengals offensive line. I mean, the interior is better than the tackle situation. Jonah Williams, who was a first-round draft choice out of Alabama, he's solid. He's not great. You can get some snaps over him. He's probably the best offensive lineman that they have right now. But Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry, really the way that they play games and match up on the front with the way that they'll, you know, send Danico Autry in to set the pick and Jeffrey Simmons will come around to bring the pressure as the looper. They'll do the same thing with Simmons and Landry or Dupree and Autry. They have a lot of different games, tackle and end tackle stunts that they can run to get pressure on Joe Burrow. Now, Burrow is incredible under pressure this season because he's had to find ways to create under pressure. Lucas apparently has a counter to that.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the most advantageous matchup, right, at least defensively. But what's the more important matchup, that or Fulton against Chase?
Well, but see, here's the thing. Like, Fulton against Chase is a storyline heading into this game. There's no disputing it, right? High school playing against each other in high school, playing against each other, or playing on the same LSU team in college. I mean, we could talk about Fulton versus Higgins, given the fact that they played against each other in the national championship game when T. Higgins was at Clemson. But I think that assumes that Fulton's going to be matched up one-on-one on Chase the entire time, whereas Jeff Simmons and the offensive line or the Titans front four versus the Bengals front five, that's going to be a more consistent matchup. I don't know if they're going to play cat coverage like that. You know what I'm saying? All right, thank you, Lucas. 615.
Answering calls over here.
All right, very good.
Black going on.
615-737-1045. Lucas, you said you did have a stat to give out, though. that you wanted to give people about this divisional round in general, yes?
Yeah, we threw it out. The most intriguing divisional matchup outside of Nashville, put it to a poll. Majority of people, both in and out of the market, I think are saying Bills and Chiefs in Kansas City. But looking at that Bucks and Rams game, only three times in NFL history has there been a playoff matchup between two quarterbacks that threw 40 or more touchdown passes in the regular season. And that Bucks-Rams game is the third time that that's ever happened. Of course, Tom Brady and Matt Stafford, the other two instances in which it's happened in NFL history, also involved Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford, just never one against the other. Like, last time was last year with Brady against Aaron Rodgers in the NFC.
Man, Rams took them to task the first time around in L.A. Like, Tom had a good day, too. Like, they weren't able to run the ball, and I can't remember exactly if there was a Leonard Fournette injury in there that kind of derailed their running attack. And the thing about the Bucs is when they're healthy, they're built to play on offense a variety of different ways, right? If Brady needs to pass 50 times, he can beat you that way. If they need to run the ball, they've got Gronk. They've got one of the better offensive lines in football, and Leonard Fournette has really, really found his groove in that system. So I think, objectively, that's probably the game outside of Nashville that I'm most interested in. I know the Bills and Chiefs obviously has more direct impact on the Titans should they advance. But I keep looking at that Rams-Tampa Bay game. I'm really, really intrigued by that. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in. If you want to, we've got Bill, who's in Murfreesboro. Actually, Bill in Murfreesboro has a Derrick Henry song. I just now saw that. Okay, Lucas, how many more Derrick Henry songs do you want to do? This, I'm going to let you make an executive producer decision.
I mean, we can hear his suggestion, but we're not going to be able to play anymore. Well, we can play one more.
One more. Okay, Bill in Murfreesboro, what you got?
Hey, I've got a comment also. The Titans are favored by all the people in the know, so for Titans fans, that's a good thing. I have two songs, one for Derrick Henry, is Thunderstruck by AC/DC, and every time they make a touchdown, they ought to play Another One Bites the Dust.
Thank you for the call, Bill. Brian is in California up next. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's going on, Buck? How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, buddy.
Hey, so real quick, shout out to California Titans fans, CTF, baby. We're out here supporting for our Titans. That's number one. Number two,
saw a bunch of guys in L.A. and in Seattle.
Oh, man, we invaded it. It was awesome. Pretty good day. And came home with the W, too. So, second thing, you know, you talked earlier about the confidence and where it's at right now. Guaranteed, once Derek gets announced to come back, there's no way we lose this game. There's no way.
Well, hey, I mean, Brian, there's definitely a way you could lose this game. Like, let's not get crazy. You know what I'm saying?
They're our own worst enemy.
Yeah. No, there's no disputing that. I mean, the turnovers when they have popped up for this team, they come in bunches. So, I mean, you should not be in jeopardy of losing this game unless, as we've said all week long, you turn the ball over with any kind of frequency that you have had in any of these losses. Like, you've been able to survive. They turned the ball over three times against the Indianapolis Colts at the start of the season, and it was one of the first times where a team has won with a -3 turnover differential. It's not easy to do. So I wouldn't say that there's no way that they lose this game. In fact, there is one definitive way in which they can lose this game. And definitively, if they turn the ball over, they're going to be in a bad spot, because that's exactly how Burrow and that offense were able to capitalize against the Las Vegas Raiders last Saturday. Eric Reed on YouTube says, Lucas, you need to hit me with the buzzer, apparently. I don't know what I did to earn the buzzer.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Find out next. We'll get into this in more detail. 615-737-1045. You can weigh in. We've got Evan Washburn. He'll be on the sidelines for CBS because, of course, that game will be carried on CBS between the Titans and the Bengals. He'll join us in the noon hour as well. We're live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill here on 104.5 The Zone.